team in together, mainly Bill. I know how to, I'm Tom Sawyer, I kind of get people to do it. So, my name is Joe Johnson. I've been pastoring for 9 years at Grace, a little more than that. And then, just at the end of October, I resigned or ended my wonderful time here in a full-time call, the Heart of the Father Ministry. And I'm the founder and the only employee who... How many employees do you have, Bill?
Two.
You and your wife?
Yeah.
We got to get Judy in.
So, it's going to be a wonderful day. Bill and I have been friends now for about 3 years. I'm in a soul shepherding group, as is Ed. You know, this was really risky for him to be on campus today because this is a Lutheran church and he's a Baptist. So, kind of a Baptist consequence. Anyway, just some logistics, if you're not been here at Grace before, we have a women's restaurant, and people that, each of you have a story to tell of all the ways that God is using you. World impact, and LA needs missionaries, right?
Yes.
I guess we could do so too. And different churches, Grace, and so. And what are some churches? Foursquare,
Vineyard,
Saint Simon Jude. Oh.
Good Shepherd Presbyterian.
Oh yeah, right here in Huntington Beach.
No, it was that.
Oh, so, wow. Well, that's the other. We got a. What's the name? Yeah. So, Good Shepherd. Any others?
Glory Day in Naples.
Huh?
Glory Day Lutheran in Naples.
How did you get there?
I think I know the pastor.
Oh, and Steve's church? Okay. Elizabeth has been coordinating this very well for me. She's a student of Fuller as well as a full-time employee at some company. And employs up in Sacramento. And Christy Galtier is here, Bill's bride. They have three beautiful children. I did a cataract surgery on Wednesday in this eye. And I got healed. Jesus healed my eye. Not quite, but it's amazing. Without glasses, I can see in the distance. Next day I can drive, so it's just my eyes a little red. So, and one other disclaimer: I figured out a reason I wore this USC shirt. Start with a prayer that was written in the 4th century by St. Patrick. It's called the Breastplate of St. Patrick. It's sung by Sarah Hart. And the prayer is: I bind myself to the virtue of Christ. And think about it as you're listening. This morning, what virtue of Christ would you like to bind yourself to today? And the Holy Spirit will, I think, speak to you through this song. We have lots of different kinds of prayers, and definitely today, Bill, looking at healing prayer and how we heal anxieties. But we often are passive in prayer, like, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. That really is more of a passive prayer. Over against, I open my eyes. I tell my heart to be open, to see. I choose to open my eyes. So this prayer, I bind myself to the virtue of Christ, is a prayer of going after and participating with Jesus. So I invite you to the Holy Spirit now, just start our day with praying this song.
To the
So what virtue would you bind your heart to today? Do you want to name some of that for us?
Peace.
Peace.
His love.
Love. Jesus.
Comfort.
Comfort.
Joys.
Guidance. Joy.
Trust.
Trust.
His commitment to the Father.
Commitment to Abba, to Father, yeah. Abandoning outcomes. Commitment to Father. Humility, how many would like humility? Good. It's a good thing.
Faithfulness.
Faithfulness. All right. Well, let's welcome Dr. Bill Goff here. All right.
Thank you, Joe, and thank you all of you. It's great to be here with you this morning. We're going to be sharing in Jesus Heals Anxious Hearts today. Anybody had any experiences with anxiety? I'm not the only one. Good. So this is a safe place for me to be. So, yeah. But we have a number of things to talk about and to learn together and to experience. So we'll be doing a variety of things together, including some scripture meditation, some quiet reflection, opportunities to share with one another. But in all of that, there's one reason why we're here and one thing that we want, and that's to meet with Jesus, the wonderful counselor and the Prince of Peace. So in this great prayer song from St. Patrick was very helpful for us to get us started. So let's just sort of continue in that. Lord, we do just rejoice that you are here in our midst. We just pause to take that in. It's not just us here in this room. As wonderful as that is, that we can be here together. But Lord, you are here. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three in one. O Spirit of Christ, our Good Shepherd and our Prince of Peace, we are looking to you this morning. If we didn't trust that you were here to welcome us, we would not have come this morning. It's you that we need to hear from. Lord, you're our teacher. You are the wonderful counselor. You know each one of us here this morning and what hurts might be in our hearts, what stress we're experiencing in our life, where maybe we're struggling with anxiety. Lord, there's loved ones that we're concerned about. In some sense, they're here in this room with us too because they're in our hearts. We're hoping to learn something or experience something today that would be helpful to them. Help us, Lord, all these hours together. We have almost 5 hours together. Help us, Lord, to be mindful that we're in your presence. There's even angels around here ministering to us and helping us to connect with you. So we're listening to you. We are opening our hearts to whatever it is that you want to say to each one of us, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus, that you heal anxious hearts. Minister your love and your joy and your peace. We pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Amen. You have on your handouts a Wordle. Anybody know what a Wordle is? It was that piece of paper that has all those different words on it. Looks like this. You know what a Wordle is? A lot of words on there. Let's just take a moment and check that sheet out there. What word or phrase jumps out at you? Just speak that out loud for all of us. This is like a meditation.
Peace be still.
My yoke is easy. people pleasing.
Jesus.
Wonderful counselor.
Walking on eggshells.
Safe place.
My burden is light.
Hurry.
Hold me.
Fear not.
Pressure to perform.
Guilt.
Anger.
Who do I trust?
So this page might represent the reasons that we're here, the more specific ones, because there's things that we're struggling with, like walking on eggshells or fear, and there's things that we hope for, like peace, learning how to be still. And so we all come here this morning with some things in our life that we need some help with, some encouragement with. That's true for me. I'm sure that's true for you. And certainly we all come this morning with some hopes. We're looking to Jesus. Probably don't need me to tell you that there are no easy answers to healing anxiety. You may not have even thought of anxiety as being something that could be healed. A lot of us, anxiety is kind of like, you know, I mean, how does a fish know that he's wet? He's always in the water. So for a lot of us, anxiety is like that. We just always lived with it. And that's been true for me most of my life. But it's really not true anymore. Now, I wouldn't want you to misunderstand. It's not like I never have an anxious feeling. I mean, I think that Jesus had anxious feelings from time to time. And we'll be unpacking, you know, what is anxiety, you know, what does that mean? But I am here to tell you that we do not need to be dominated by anxiety. We do not need to be living in, swimming in, overwhelmed with anxiety. There is help, and in that sense, there is healing for that. The healing is more likely to come sort of in a progression over time, certainly, but sometimes there are specific moments where in a prayer or something that we learn or something that we experience where there's a big release and an experience from God. And I hope and pray that we will have moments like that, that many of you will, all of you will, have a point of contact with the Lord, with the Abba Father, the Prince of Peace, that will minister to you. That's why I'm here. And as I'm talking to you, I am trusting in Jesus. That's why I prayed that way at the beginning. He is our speaker. I mean, I've been giving talks for a lot of years, and I know there's a lot of different ways to give talks. And what I've learned to do is to do it in the easy yoke of Jesus. I mean, there was a day where I had a lot of anxiety standing up here talking to people. I'm not like just a natural speaker. Some people are just like real natural speakers, and they just, you know, they just connect with people, and they're winsome and funny, and you know, I'm kind of like a boring teacher, you know. I just like, I'm a melancholy type of personality, and I think about things, and of course I'm a psychologist, so I spent a lot of time with people over 25 years, and a student of the scriptures. But God has helped me, and the thing that's helped me the most is learning how to rely on Jesus to be the teacher. So I was tempted to be anxious this morning, and spent some time in prayer, and it just lifted as I just anticipated being with all of you. And so I'm very relaxed now, because Jesus is carrying the responsibility here, because I know that he knows each one of you and why you're here and what you need to hear.
Amen.
And the Lord told me one time, and whispered to my heart, and said, you know, Bill, the most important words that you write or that you speak, I'm a writer first and a speaker second, The most important words that you write or speak, they come between the lines. You know what that means? They're not even things that I said. So, I can relax because Jesus is here talking to you. He knows why you're here. And so he's ministering to you. And you're gonna get something from today. And it probably won't even be anything I said. So, so maybe I'll just stand here and look at you for a while. Oh, he might talk through me too. You never know. I mean, he spoke through a jackass in the Bible, so. Anything's possible, right? Well, I have struggled with anxiety and fear. One time that I was tempted to be afraid, I want to tell you this story. As a couple years ago, my son David, he's 21 now. He was 19 then, and he said, "Hey, Dad, let's do a triathlon together." It was the summer just after his freshman year of college, and he was just came home, and he wanted to do a triathlon. Now, I'm a marathon runner, so I'm in pretty good shape and run long distances, and I was in good shape when he said this to me, but a triathlon is different because you swim, and you bike, and then you run. You do three things, and so I'm a good runner and pretty good on a bike, but I don't like to swim. In fact, I'm afraid to swim. In a pool, let alone in the ocean. So, I mean, I'm not like so afraid that I don't get in the water, but I've just never liked swimming. I'm not good at it. But when he said, "Let's do a triathlon," I said yes before I even thought about what I was saying because, you know, I'm an athlete and my son wants to do something athletic with me and I want to bond with him and I'm up for a challenge. Well, I can do that. And then this, after I said yes, I thought, well, gosh, that means I got to swim. I got to swim in the ocean. You know, how am I going to do this? I've got arthritis in my shoulders, and so I can't do the normal, you know, freestyle. So I do this breaststroke, and I don't even really know how to do it. You know, I'm kind of like a kind of like a granny in the pool because I keep my head above the water all the time. You know, just kind of swimming in the water. Because I don't like to go under. You know, so it was. It was a scary thought when I stood there on the beach and there was just, you know, hundreds of men and women and, you know, everybody's got their caps on, you know, swimming caps on, and it's very cold. I mean, I'm just shivering standing there on the beach. I'm not even in the water yet. And, you know, Strutter's gun is about to sound and all, you know, all these people, and just before they let us out, they said, "Does anybody need a swim buddy?" And inside I thought, yeah, I need a swim buddy. I don't think I could ask for a swim buddy. That would be kind of like, just felt kind of lame or something. I think the jock inside of me thought, "Bill, you can do this. You know, come on." Just thinking back to, we did our swimming test in school. You know, I passed the test. I can do this. So I didn't raise my hand. I thought, well, Christy might wish I would raise my hand, but I didn't raise my hand. But they had some lifeguards out there in the water. These big, buff lifeguards on surfboards sitting out there lining the path. I couldn't even see the point at which we were going to turn around. We were swimming out into the ocean and turn around. I could see it, but just barely. It was very intimidating standing out there in front of the ocean. I'm going to swim all that ways and all the way back, you know. And it's not like in a pool where if you start choking in water, you can stand up and cough it out. You know, if that happens, and that happens to me, then you got to kind of tread water while you're coughing. So I was scared. You know, and I was shivering, and that made me more scared. And then I'm thinking about how just a couple weeks prior to that, somebody got eaten by a shark right there. Seriously, I mean, it's like, I tried to dismiss that thought as being, you know, really unlikely. But it was scary for me. So as I'm there, I'm praying, you know, and I'm thinking about Paul's words. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, you know. Whether I swim well or not well, and I'm sure I'm not going to swim well. Even if I start choking on water, he's going to be with me. I'm going to be swimming with Jesus. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He's my joy. He's my peace. You know, one thing I do, I'm setting my eyes on the goal to win the prize. You know, swimming with Jesus, not just finishing this race, but the life race. When I do races, I like it to represent the spiritual life. So I was taking courage from the Lord, and that was helping me not to be overwhelmed with anxiety and sort of to calm those fears down. And starter's gun sounds, so I dive in the water, you know, start swimming, and then there's just, you know, just people all around. So they're kicking and splashing, and I mean, just, you know, I'm just, it's like, you can hard to breathe enough if you're just swimming, but when people are splashing in your face, of course, they're all just, you know, passing me because I'm really slow. As I'm swimming along, twice, two different lifeguards, you know, these big buff guys sitting on surfboards, they see me and they go, "Are you okay?" That's how bad it was. They didn't see that I was swimming with Jesus. But I was okay, just slow. Taking in some water now and again and needing to cough it out. So I finished the swim portion, and Christy was there. It was so nice to see her. And then we headed into the transition to the bike. And, you know, I found out later that I, out of 72 male contestants my age, I came in 70th place in the swim. And, you know, that was really, really good for me because I kind of take probably a little too much pride in my athletics. You know, I grew up, you know, playing sports, and I'm a decent runner, and so it was really good for me to come like in last place, you know, and just hold my head high anyway. You know, I finished, and I did it with Jesus, and I did it with my son. You know, that was, you know, we shared the experience together. So I'm really thankful for that, and we finished the race, and he beat me by a lot because he's a good swimmer, and I could never make up that time lost, and so that was fun for him. It was fun for me to, you know, see how well that he did and everything. And so dive in, face your fear. That's the lesson. What are you afraid of? I told you there was a time in my life where I was afraid of public speaking. Now, I never let that become a phobia that I just didn't do because of the fear. So part of what I did is I've spoken in front of groups hundreds of times now. And that kind of, it's one of the treatments that we use to help people with fear and anxiety. Is sort of, you need to face it. Because if you avoid the thing that you're afraid of, that provides you temporary relief, and you're glad for that. But what it does is it makes the fear worse, and then if the fear is like repressed in you, and that becomes anxiety, and so it's really a very bad solution. And just one example of this, you've probably heard of agoraphobia. There might be some here who have struggled with that. Agoraphobia is where you're afraid to get trapped somewhere out in public, or in particular, like have a panic attack in public. A panic attack is where you have a blowout of anxiety that just seems to come out of nowhere, and you just find yourself shaking and feeling all hot and sweaty, and your heart is racing. You might feel like you're having a heart attack. You just feel like you want to crawl out of your skin. You feel trapped. You feel embarrassed. You feel out of control. You don't know why you're having this, all this anxiety come over you. It doesn't make any sense. You feel very stupid and very embarrassed about the whole thing. And so I'm sure some of you have had panic attacks. I've had anxiety attacks to a degree, maybe not a full-blown panic attack, but I know that feeling. Well, when you've had that, you don't want to have it in public. And so sometimes people that have panic disorder, they develop agoraphobia, where they start becoming afraid to go out in public. And if that gets extreme, an agoraphobic will actually just stay in his or her home because that feels like a safe place. And so the world just keeps shrinking and shrinking to where that safe place is. And it never resolves the issue to avoid it, you see. So facing what we're afraid of is really an important part of what helps us. And we have the greatest possible resource to help us dive in and face our fear, and that's to swim with Jesus, you see. Learning how to venture on God. This is one of the great lessons in the spiritual life that have been so impactful for me, and that's learning how to venture on the Lord, to try something, to maybe step out of our comfort zone and face something that we're afraid of, or even just try a new spiritual discipline that we haven't tried before. step out in ministry or service in some way. And with this attitude of experimenting, what will God do if I try this and I look to the Spirit of Christ with me? That attitude proves to be actually a way of talking about faith, and it proves to be really fundamental, because what probably every one of us in this room do, and probably what I have done the most of all of anybody in this room in my life, although thankfully not so much anymore, but what most of us tend to do is rely on ourselves. In whatever the situation is, we look to ourselves to make something happen. We even can do this in ministry, whether your ministry is leading a Bible study or a small group or just listening to a friend over coffee. And so we act like it depends on us. And if it doesn't go well, we feel bad or inadequate. And this is a lot of the reason why we feel afraid. It's because we depend so much on our own selves. Instead of relying on the Holy Spirit within us and all around us. You see? Well, I'm probably not telling you anything right now that you don't know. Maybe you're thinking about it more deeply, and that's good. But the issue is learning to live this way. Having the thought is an important start, but how do we actually learn to live this way? How do we learn to become the kind of person who relies on the Spirit of Christ with us as we face our fear, as we deal with the challenges in our life or in our ministry? Well, it's through training with Jesus. And I'm sort of getting like way ahead of myself, because now I'm into what we're going to be talking about in like an hour or so. But sometimes that happens when I just try to, you know, get unhooked from my notes and try to follow the leading of the Spirit. But that's kind of an overview in a way. Where we're going to get to is, how do we become the kind of people who depend on the Holy Spirit, the power of God, the grace of God, the abilities of Christ, the love of the Father, the Word of God, not just our own intelligence and muscle and abilities. How do we become that kind of person? Jesus was that kind of person. The Son of God and also the Son of Man. And as the Son of Man, in order to do what he did, the only way he could do it was through the love of the Father and the power of the Spirit. And so Jesus Christ was completely submitted to the Father in all things and completely dependent upon the leading and empowerment of the Holy Spirit in all that he did. If he had not been submitted to the Father like he was, if he was not relying on the Holy Spirit, he wouldn't have had all that wisdom. He wouldn't have had all that compassion. He wouldn't have been able to heal people. He certainly wouldn't have been able to be the Savior of the world, even though he was the Son of God. Being the Son of God was not like automatically enabling him to do all of these things just because he was the Son of God. Because if that was true, he wouldn't be the Son of Man. So he took on real limitations. Jesus, when you read the Gospels, Jesus is not like Einstein doing first grade math. Like, this is really easy for him, he's just faking it. No, he was tempted in every way that we're tempted to sin. He had like way more stress than any one of us in this room, than all of us in this room combined. I mean, just try being a human being and prove to the world that you're the Savior of the world, and do that in 3 years while you're on a camping trip with people. I mean, it's pretty tough to do. But with the help of the Father and the Spirit and a lot of training. See, what do you think Jesus was doing between age 12 and age 30? Right? We see him at age 12 in the temple. He's teaching the religious leaders. He looks pretty good to me. Let's release him. I think he's got a lot to teach. I'd like to know between 12 and 30, what did Jesus have to say? What was he doing? I bet it was better than anything anybody's teaching today on earth. I bet it was amazing. I bet he probably already had some readiness to minister healing to people. What was he doing for 18 years? Why didn't the Father release him? Well, maybe at 18. I'm sure he read 8 or 21, 25, 28. But 18 years sitting around in Nazareth, small little town. Not many people there. Working as a carpenter or a stone cutter. Helping out Mary. You know, tradition tells us that Joseph died during Jesus' childhood. Jesus becomes, in some sense, the man of the house. He's the oldest child. Helping to run the home, bringing home some income so everybody can eat. Loving his neighbor. Loaning out his tools and not getting them back. Loaning them out again. Being cursed by elitist, aristocratic, wealthy people as he's on his hands and knees, putting in little tiny mosaic tiles on a floor. They actually have excavations in the city of Sepphoris. Archaeologists have found mosaics there, beautiful tile mosaics that were in the homes of really wealthy people. Sepphoris is just a few miles from Nazareth, and just over the hillside. In Jesus' day, Sepphoris was a bustling city of activity and wealth. There was a lot of work there. Nazareth was a small little town. I mean, it's totally reversed now. Sepphoris is nothing but an archaeological dig now the tourists go to. But in Jesus' day, that's where the work was. Good chance he walked over the hillside into Sepphoris. And we like to think he had this nice little carpenter shop over here. And, you know, he's doing these special... And that, you know, maybe that's true. But there's not a lot of wood in Israel. There's a lot of stone. And the Greek word tikton can be interpreted as stone cutter. So, real possibility. And anyway, I have no doubt that Jesus did this kind of thing. He's a blue-collar worker, working with his hands, doing common labor, serving people who were wealthier than he was. And no doubt he experienced the things that servants experience and construction workers experience and maybe even illegal immigrants in our society who are doing jobs, just trying to, you know, living day to day. He experienced that kind of treatment. It's pretty safe to say. So, what's he doing? He's learning. He's training. He's growing in grace. It's a great wisdom that the sinless Savior, our perfect Lord, was in a sense being perfected. Scripture teaches us this. He grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man, Luke tells us. He was in a process. It's not just physical. It's also cognitive, psychological, personal, spiritual. He's growing up. He didn't pop out of Mary's womb reciting Psalms. He had to learn these things. See, the writer of Hebrews tells us that Jesus learned obedience through suffering. This, you know, mind-bending stuff. It's like the Trinity, you know, three in one in three. But we're not going to fully understand the divinity and humanity of Christ. But it's important for us to understand and to believe that Jesus learned and grew in grace like a flower. Imagine a rose that buds and then just begins to open up and gets more and more beautiful. It's perfect all along, but yet there's some sense in which it's growing and becoming more beautiful. Jesus, the life of Jesus is like that. Now, the reason why I'm kind of going off on this sidetrack I hadn't even intended to share, because I think this is so important that we have this fixed in our minds, maybe even right here at the start today, if we're talking about anxiety. Jesus, he has a lot of things to say about anxiety. We're going to be looking at those scriptures. Don't look at Jesus like he's Einstein doing first grade math. Look at Jesus like he figured it out. He learned how to live a life without anxiety. He had a lot of stress, and he was very tempted to be anxious. He had many things to be afraid of. He could have lived in fear. He felt fear, he felt anxiety, but these things did not dominate him. He knew how to trust the Father. He knew how to rely on the Spirit. He learned these things. He practiced these things through a process of development, through training, through becoming the kind of person who, even under intense pressure, would not succumb to fear, would not back down, but would be able to take courage from the Father. He became the kind of person who would not be dominated by anxiety, who would not be full of worries, but who would be at peace even in great stress. He wasn't like that at birth. He learned that through increasing tests and trials over his life as he was training in the same ways that you and I need to train. So this just really opens up so much for us in our relationship with Jesus. If we look to Jesus this way, that he's with us as a teacher, but he's one that understands our struggles. He learned how to overcome anxiety from the inside out, from personal experience, from going through a life of stress. He knows how to help us with that, you see. So that's sort of the theme of the whole day there, is coming to Jesus and finding peace in the Lord. So I want to pause in sort of a prayerful way for a few moments now and ask you, we kind of just touched on it with the wordle meditation that we did, but I want to go a little deeper now into our hearts and ask you, just in the quiet of your own heart, nothing that you need to share with anybody right now, and there will be opportunities to share things, but you never have to share something, obviously. So sometimes the most important things that we share are just in prayer, in the quiet of our heart, to Jesus. And we might not be ready to share that with another person yet, and that's fine. But I want you to think with the Lord about, why are you here? What stress is going on in your life? Might be something you're anxious about or tempted to be anxious about. Let's pray with the psalmist in Psalm 139. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me. Lead me in the way everlasting. So I'm just going to pause for about a minute of quiet now. Is with the Holy Spirit, you search your heart now. What are you stressed about? What might you be anxious about? Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Really hope that you identified something in your life that is an example of something that stresses you or brings about anxiety for you or it tempts you to become anxious about. And what I want to ask you to do is to hold that example in mind all day today. As I was praying for you and for this time that we were going to have, I sensed the Lord impress upon my heart that this is what we needed to do. And when it occurred to me, I thought, why don't I always do that when I give a talk? That's kind of like what we do in the therapy office. I don't think I've ever done that before. So I really have a lot of hope and faith and trust in the Lord that if you will do this, just keep it, you know, we all have computers with windows, you know. We understand the world of windows where you can be working on a document over here, but you got the window with email open over here. And while you're doing this document, an email might pop in, you know. Anybody do Facebook? You do Facebook? You go on to Joe Johnson's page and you push a like. You like what he does? Yeah, a lot of you do that. He's got some good posts on there. So you might have three windows open. Word document, your email, and then your Facebook. See, your mind is like that. There's levels to our minds. There's windows in our minds. So in one of the windows, just keep open. I've got this issue with anxiety. Okay, my today, what I prayed about, just a couple days ago, our daughter tested positive for lupus. Now, it doesn't mean that she has lupus, it was just a first test, and so, you know, hopefully she doesn't. We're sort of praying, but I could be anxious about that. I could be afraid about that. That would be a big deal, you see. So, trusting God with that as we go through this process, you know, that's something that I want to keep in mind now, that Jesus is with Brianna, and he's with Christy and I in this journey. And now even today, the wonderful counselor might teach me something. I'm hoping that he will teach me something or minister to me in some way as it relates to that issue. So as we go through this day, I'm just going to have that in mind and see what the Lord might do there. That's what I'm asking you to do. Whatever that issue is, just kind of keep that window open. That you've got this stress. Jesus knows about this. He's with you in that area. You're looking to him now to speak to you, minister to you, bring healing to you in that area. Okay, will you do that? Yeah, I think you will find that it will be very helpful to you. I wonder if you know Psalm 46. What a great psalm. We're going to take a break in just a minute. Psalm 46, what a wonderful psalm. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in times of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though the waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging, Selah. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her, and she will not fall. God will help her at the break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still. And know that I am God. I'll be exalted among the nations. I'll be exalted in all the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. Can I bring our stress, whatever we're anxious about, into that Psalm 46 reality? That would be good. You see the tension in that psalm between physical, visible reality. Nations are in uproar, earthquakes, wars, danger, physical, visible reality, circumstances. Stress is a circumstance. Whatever your stress is, the psalm is talking about that. So we got the visible reality over here. Did you notice another reality going on? Spiritual reality. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. Where is that river? Don't make the mistake of saying, oh, it's in heaven. Well, it is in heaven. Of course it's in heaven. But don't think like, yeah, it's in here. Good. That river. Rivers of living. I really like that. Thank you. She's pointing to her heart. Remember, Jesus said that, right? Anyone who believes in me, out of him will flow rivers of living water, the Holy Spirit. That river that makes glad the city of God is not just far away and a lot later when we die and go to heaven. It'll be wonderful there, no doubt. And we want to put our hope, set your hope fully on the grace to be given when Jesus Christ is revealed, Peter says in 1 Peter. He's coming back. Or we might die first. And we're going to be drinking out of that river. Invisible reality. We want to set our hope fully on that. But don't forget that in spiritual reality, in the kingdom of God, which is Psalm 46 reality, in the kingdom of God, that river is flowing. That river is flowing in this room. So this morning we are helping each other, being together, studying scripture together, doing some spiritual disciplines together. We are in a time of you might think of as intensive training, but hopefully it's fun too. Celebration of discipline is Richard Foster's book. It can actually be a celebration to do a discipline. See? So we're training together. To learn how to be more oriented to living our lives in the kingdom of the heavens today through Jesus Christ. Bringing this kingdom of God reality, this river that makes glad the city of God, bringing that into our lives everywhere we go. So that river is just flowing in us, peace like a river, through us, peace like a river. So it takes training. It might take healing. It takes learning. It takes practice. Little by little, more and more, to become the kind of person who is a Psalm 46 person. Living in the reality of be still and know that I am God. I have no doubt that every one of us in this room would say with great earnestness, God is my refuge and strength, my ever-present help in trouble. My concern is that many of us, perhaps to some extent all of us, might struggle with living that way. And that even though we would write down on a piece of paper when we're writing down our values and our priorities, the first thing on that list for every one of us in this room, I believe, is going to be, Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior, and I love Him and I want to live for Him. And that's important that we would do that. But what happens when we're driving our car and somebody cuts us off? Is God my refuge, my ever-present help in times of trouble? Or when your spouse criticizes you? Or you're in that challenging situation that tempts you to be anxious or afraid? What comes out of you? Is it the river that makes glad the city of God? Well, I am here to say that we can become the kind of people who what comes out of us, not perfectly, but more and more, and substantially what comes out of us, even routinely what comes out of us, even easily what comes out of us, is the river that makes glad the city of God. That is possible. I have experienced that. And I think you have too. I think you can look in your life and there are times you can say, you know, that wasn't me. That was Christ. I wouldn't normally react that way. Jesus is alive in me. His peace came out of me. Or his wisdom or his grace. And so what we are about this morning is becoming more like that. Growing in that more. So that more naturally, more reliably, we're flowing in that river. Another analogy Jesus uses is we're the good tree. The tree that we're sinking our roots into the soil of Christ, the presence of God. And so we're growing fruit naturally. We're planted like the Psalm 1 tree beside the stream of living water. So even if we're in the desert, even if it's a dark night of this soul and we're not feeling God's blessings like we want, even if we're a time of great drought, no rain has come, our circumstances are lousy, unfair, stressful, hurtful, even in those desert times, there is this stream of water over there, the Spirit of God. And our roots are down deep in the soil, drawing up nourishment from that river. It might even be a hidden river. It might be the whole surface of the earth is crested and dry. But down deep, there's a river or a well, and we're tapping into that. And so like the Psalm 1 tree, we're able to bear fruit. Even though, in any season, and even though someone looking at the visible situation in our life wouldn't understand, how can she be joyful now? And you know, that's our best witness. It's just what oozes out of our bodies. Like when we're not looking. You know? So, our training process is to become people more like that. So, we want to be people who not only on the sheet of paper, but in how we actually live our life, we can say, God is my refuge. Not alcohol, for instance. Not a sin to have a drink, but what if you need to use a drink in order to relax in a social setting? Yeah, you might not be an alcoholic, but is that a good thing to need? What if when you're bored at night, or you're tired, you work hard, feeling like you need something a little special, you know, maybe it's time to have some ice cream and cookies. Well, I do that a lot. Nothing wrong with ice cream and cookies. But at what point do we cross the line that ice cream and cookies are my refuge? Or television, or Facebook, or getting people to like my posts on Facebook. Or, you know, there's a lot of things that we might turn to feel better. That aren't necessarily sinful, But the question is, well, do I really mean it when I say God is my refuge? When I'm lonely, when I'm bored, when I'm hurting, when I don't know what to do, when I'm tired, do I turn to Jesus? Now, you can enjoy a cookie with Jesus, and you can probably enjoy a glass of wine with Jesus. I mean, I couldn't, because in my particular ministry ordination, I had to sign a covenant that I wouldn't drink. And it was actually very easy for me to do, but you probably don't have that covenant, so you could. Some of you have a glass of wine, that's fine. You know, others of you right now, like my wife, are saying, Bill, why are you saying this? This isn't a good thing. Some of you, like, don't drink at all. So, anyway, God is our refuge. Probably this is a good time for a break. I got so much more here, but anybody, before we do that, questions, comments, let's have a take a couple minutes if you want to share something based on what's been said so far.
So, Bill, I appreciated that you shared the potential of being anxious about something that relates to your child, because I think that the thing that I can go to fear fastest on is not about me personally, but it's about people I love. And that's where I have to release it and turn it over to God. Otherwise, I'm just off to the races.
So, thank you.
Thank you for sharing that. I know there are others here that we feel that way.
I can speak loud. Family dysfunctions. Big time right now with son and daughter. Yeah. I didn't realize it was anxiety.
Anybody else? Comment? Question?
Do you do recordings of your quoting scripture? That was very good.
Oh, this is recorded. So, yeah, if you go to soulshepherding.org, audio messages, you'll find this. This whole day will be recorded. So.
Good.
Yeah, and by the way, you have a little. I think you might have picked up one of these here. And if you want to receive the emails, the soul shepherding emails that we write, just put your email address on there. You get about one or two a week, and you can get off the list anytime. And maybe this is a good time to mention, just to remind you, that this morning is sponsored by Heart of the Father Ministries, which is Joe's ministry. And so we would really appreciate if you could make a love offering to support Joe and his ministry. And most of you know and love Joe, and so... if we don't contribute, then he doesn't get to eat, because he's not employed here at Grace anymore. So, he and Judy need to eat. So let's be generous and make a donation to Heart of the Father. So, anybody else? There's a basket right over there on the table. So, anybody else have a comment or question? Yeah.
Is it wrong to be anxious about a situation where you actually do proactive things to take care of the situation, and you're actually driven by it? It's a passion to try to do something instead of just sitting back and letting things happen. Is that wrong? Because that would be me.
You have like maybe an example of that you'd be comfortable sharing?
Well, yeah. My children have Huntington's disease. I lost my daughter 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. And so I support research. I actually have started an organization through UCI. And I actually started the chapter of HDSA in Orange County 12 years ago. And just recently started this other organization. So my goal is to support research so that we can end this devastating disease that goes on from one generation to another. And people tell me I'm passionate, I'm driven, and my whole life is focused on that. But we have to end this suffering. So, you know, and I do get anxious about my two named children who are suffering from it. And I don't feel that, I'm wondering if what I'm hearing is that it's wrong to beat that. I think anxiety can be good if you're driven to do positive things. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if I was hearing wrong, that it's, you know, you should just kind of relax. And I do feel that God is leading me. I don't really rely on Him, but when I'm anxious, I know He's there. There's a connection. It's not that it's like a child. You don't have to rely on your parents. You know they're going to be there for you.
Well, Francis, thank you for sharing this. I really appreciate that. And the first thing that we all want to say to you is what you're doing is beautiful and wonderful, and thank God you're doing it. Mm-hmm. It's so important. And so you've raised some important issues here. First of all, to answer your question, no, it is not wrong to be anxious. Okay, and Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off all of the burdens or weights that hinder, and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance, or swim with perseverance, the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. So, a lot of wonderful things in that scripture, but in particular, the writer of Hebrews is differentiating between weights and sins. Anxiety is a weight. It is not a sin. It is not wrong. Okay? Your question is actually deeper than that, though, because you're saying, well, isn't it a good thing that I'm anxious, because it's like kind of like getting me going. It's helping me to deal with this disease that has been so devastating. I mean, you lost your child, so, I mean, this is very personal for you. And there are many people suffering. And so what you're doing is wonderful. Now, the idea that you need anxiety to motivate you to do this, we might wonder if that is necessary, or is there another possible motivation there that could help you do what you're doing? And I think if we were to talk further about this, we would see that, well, actually, you have another motivation, and it's love. Right. And that's, if you think about it more carefully, that's probably more what's motivating you is love. And that's the position we want you in. Now, you also said that you don't really rely on Christ with you, but that you know He's there. So that was sort of a two sides there. And I think what you're saying there is that, well, in the sense that you know Christ is with you, well, you are relying on Him. However, to the degree to which you're anxious, maybe you're having some difficulty relying on Him sort of in the moment of what you're doing. And what I would want to say is, well, it would be helpful to you, and actually I would say that it would be empowering to your ministry, to your service, if you could learn some more things about how to do your work in the easy yoke of Jesus, so that more persuasively and dominantly your motivation is love, and not as much anxiety. Now, is anxiety all bad? Well, there's perhaps something in what you're calling anxiety that is like, might be more clearly referred to as a fear of somebody dying of Huntington's disease that could be saved. And if we look at it that way, I would say that fear is, in the sense of being an awareness of a possible danger, is a good thing, because it's about reality. Thank God that you are looking at that situation and dealing with it. And so in the sense that you're alarmed and that's causing you to say something needs to be done, that is helpful. But what I want to say to you is, well, you could do all of that without anxiety, but it would take training and healing and learning to get more into that easy yoke.
That's going to be hard.
Well,
be a lot of work.
It is. I mean, it's a yoke. It's hard to get into a yoke. Discipline training is hard. You're right. But what you find is, and you would see that this is true in your life if we talk in more detail, that you'd say, yeah, well, that's not true for me. The more that you do this training, it will make your life easier. So there are things about the training that are hard, but it makes life better. And once we learn how to get into the yoke, a yoke is hard to get into. I mean, an ox doesn't want to be yoked to another ox.
Baxter doesn't want to pull the plow across the field. I mean, there's some things about this that are hard. But once you get in the yoke, and you see who's next to you, that it's Jesus, and you see how wonderfully at peace he is, and you learn how to walk in cadence with him, rather than hurrying to get the job done or trying to get out of the yoke, you start to get in the rhythms of grace with Jesus. And you start to see this is easier. Because first of all, the plow has to be pulled. Somebody's got to do it. And you have stepped up to say, I'm going to do it. And thank God you have. So now the question is, well, how are you doing it? And what you're telling us is, well, there's some room for you to learn and grow in some ways that you could do this work in an easier, more peaceful way by doing it with Jesus. So the way you learn that is not while you're pulling the plow on the field. You learn it first by doing some exercises off the spot. You're not in the field. You're not doing the work. You're praying about doing the work. You're doing some scripture meditation before you do the service. You're here at Jesus Heals Anxious Hearts. You're getting some new ideas. There's some new scriptures that are being opened up that you can study. You see, we're going to do a breath prayer. There's different little disciplines that you can do. You do those things, because you can do those things. And then by doing those things over time, they enable you to do what you couldn't do before, which is pull that plow in that yoke and do it in a relaxed, graceful way. See, now that takes time, that takes practice. In one sense, that's hard, but in another sense, it makes life easier. It's really worth it. So that was a great question. I mean, we all can relate to that. See, yeah. This is where we get the real work going. Yeah, Christy, please.
The reason you would want to do that is because if you're dependent upon anxiety, you'll burn out. It won't be sustainable over the long haul. So that's why we need the training, and we need to learn. You know, the scripture says perfect love casts out all fear. You don't want to need the fear to be your motivation. Yeah, fear responses in our body produce that fight or flight response, cortisol. That's not good for your health. So that would be one of the reasons, one of the understandings why it's not good for you to need the anxiety to be able to do that. It's not that it's all bad. You're using it for good motivation, but there's a better vision for you. We want to expand.
I think it's love that's stronger than fear for me, because I've been living with this for 35 years since the father of my children was diagnosed. Mm-hmm. So it's been over 35 years that I've been living with it. So
yeah,
I just didn't know if I was interpreting it right, if this anxiety is a bad thing, but maybe it's love that's motivating me. I don't know.
Yeah, good. That's a great question.
Yeah. Thank you, Christy. So next time, Joy, you need to ask Christiane to speak together, because she's... There was a question back here. Yeah.
As you were sharing, and Francis was sharing, I think the Lord just impressed upon me another side of this, and that would be that God would say to not only Francis, but to all of us, that we need to trust Him, that we're doing this to control the situation, that we as individuals in this fallen world are driven to control our emotions, our fear, our anxiety, our love. And so we're doing this instead of letting go. What you're saying, the practical sense, is to let go and to trust God to walk you through this, that you're driven by the fear of losing a child, or you know, a child you've lost in fear, another child. But we need to trust God, and that comes where you're saying, and your wife's saying, you know, about the motivation, the endurance, only comes through trusting God.
Yeah, Lewis brings up a great point about drivenness and ambition. There's a fine line between a passion, like you're living out to help and to do research and to raise support to end the disease. When does that passion become my ambition to make something happen? Or when is it a Holy Spirit empowered work, and when is it me just stressing and pushing to make something happen? And when we slip over into me trying to fix it and solve it with my own abilities, that's where the anxiety comes in. And I know all about that. Will I Am, that's my name. So I've lived a life that way. And I've been learning a different way. It's an easy yoke, and it's tremendous. Yes, Steph?
Something like, as opposed to like a moral cause, like, you know, the nobility of research towards Huntington's disease, like, anxiety does have a place in, like, more day-to-day things. Like, my case in point, if people didn't worry about bills or how they were going to get paid or how they were going to sustain themselves, the bills wouldn't get paid. So sometimes anxiety can be a temporary positive motivating factor in things getting done that have to be done.
Well, that's true. And I was taught that in school, becoming a psychologist. Better to have the motivation of anxiety or fear to get something important done than not doing it. That's true. But I still would want to say, well, there's another source of motivation that's love and joy and peace, that we can learn how to let that be the dominant force. So that's what we're here to explore.
I was just going to comment that sometimes it's difficult to know. I want to trust God, but it's difficult to know what the steps are. And so, you know, it's one thing to say, I want to do something, or I believe that I trust God, but sometimes I don't know how to do that day to day like you're talking about.
Thank you for asking that, because we... make sure that before you leave today, we covered that. I mean, that's
okay.
That's the other side of the page here, but I'm only on the top of the first page. So we need to make sure we get to that, because that's like really important. How do we trust God? What, you know, sort of what are the steps? Let's be practical about that. I mean, some of the things we've already been saying are illustrating that, but that's, we, I want everybody to leave with that sense today. So anybody else have something you want to share? All these comments are really good, and thank you for these clarifications. I don't want anybody to feel like, I don't mean to be saying it's wrong or even bad to be anxious. Okay, I have struggled with anxiety, but I do want to give you the vision. If you're dealing with anxiety, I want to give you the vision that they're and yes, you can be anxious about something, and it helps you to work on something, and so there's a lot of good that's in that. But the more we can be motivated out of love, the better. And the more we can learn through a healing process, through training, to do what we do in the easy yoke of Jesus, the better. So don't misunderstand anything. I'm just talking about kicking back on the beach, sipping pina coladas, and kumatata, and that's what it means to be at peace. No, I'm talking about pulling a plow across the field, dealing with stress, I'm talking about escaping those things. I'm talking about being in them, but being so relying upon Jesus that the Holy Spirit is now with you, and there's something different now in your character that you're learning and developing. You have new abilities and new capacities and new motivations and new energies. Was there one more comment or question before we break? I thought I saw another hand here. Okay, well, let's take a break to go to the bathroom and stretch and...